Morning, everyone. Our reading today is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 11, and that can be found on page 1076 of the Church Bibles. That's John chapter 10, starting from verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paula. Please do keep your Bibles open there in John chapter 10. And as ever, let's ask God for his help in prayer. Father God, this morning we want to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. May you be doing that work in us as we look at these scriptures together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, many people today, they're suspicious of religious claims, aren't they? Whether it be the so-called big religions of Christianity, of Islam, or Hinduism, or Buddhism, or Judaism, through to the wacky cults. I don't know if you've heard of the Chicago Rippers. I hadn't, so I sort of Googled it. Or Japan, the Japanese Amu Shinriku. They killed some people on the subway in Tokyo a number of years ago. And there are often good reasons to be suspicious, aren't they? Whether that's because some of their activities are immoral, or there's heavy shepherding going on, through to just straightforward deception and manipulation. Well, people who are suspicious are in good company because they're in the company of Jesus. Because as we look at another of Jesus' I am statements in John's Gospel, in John chapter 9 and 10, Jesus is talking with a whole bunch of religious leaders here who were around Jesus that day. And Jesus in John chapter 9, he calls them blind. Religious leaders who aren't just a little bit wrong, but they're so wrong that they're blind. Elsewhere he calls them thieves and robbers. Jesus was suspicious of them. Suspicious about what they taught, suspicious about their motives, suspicious about how the things they presented of God. He was really suspicious. So that leaves us with a very ancient, but also a very modern question, doesn't it? How can we protect ourselves from dodgy religions? From dodgy leaders? And sadly, that question is just as relevant in the modern day church as well, isn't it? But wonderfully, Jesus has a very straightforward question that we can ask. And it comes at the end of verse 14. Please cast your eyes down to verse 14, John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus' sheep know Jesus. And when you know someone, when you really know someone, well, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Because at the heart of that is relationship. And what a relationship. Let me just read verse 14 again. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Reading on. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus and his sheep, they know each other like God the Father knows God the Son, and vice versa. And there's many different intimate relationships in our life today, isn't there? It can be deep friendships or marriage. But here Jesus is picking up on the relationship between a parent and a child. Father, son, mother, daughter, father, daughter, mother, son. Good parents know their children, don't they? They're not surprised when their child throws a wobbly because they have to share a toy. They're equally not surprised at that time when that same child can be kind and tender towards someone else. A parent knows. And as children grow up, they get to know their parents, don't they? You know, if you want to know what I'm like, talk to my children. Actually, please don't. You're very welcome to talk to my kids. Well, this is the relationship that Jesus experienced with his heavenly Father. For all of eternity, they intimately know each other, and therefore, Jesus is protecting us from false religious and dodgy religious leaders by asking us one very simple question. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Because if you do, you'll know that you're dealing with the real McCoy. Your relationship with Jesus will confirm that Jesus is the true one living God, that he can be trusted. So let's get to know Jesus better as we dive into these verses today and our first point. We can know Jesus. We can know more about Jesus by Jesus' commitment to his people. Jesus' commitment to his people. Please look back with me at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, let's read on verse 12. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. I mean, the hired hand, he's willing to do all the easy shepherding jobs. Feeding the sheep, guiding the sheep, making a cup of tea or whatever. But when the wolf howls can be heard over the hills. And then a few minutes later, in the dark, you can just see the blinking eyes on the edge of the fields. When the danger is real, the hired hand abandons the sheep. They run. And the sheep are attacked. It's sad, isn't it? It's such a lack of care. But then Jesus is so different because instead of running, he's ready to face the wolves. He's ready to die to save the sheep. Now that is commitment, isn't it? Not running, but staying to personal cost, in personal cost to himself. Now at this point, we might say, well, Jesus' words, these are just words from Jesus and words are easy. You don't need to know much about the Christian story, do you, to know that Jesus did lay down his life for his sheep. He willingly let himself be crucified on a cross for the sake of his people. Jesus cared that much for his sheep. He is that committed to his people. And the better you get to know Jesus, the more you realize just how committed to you and me he is. Just what he's willing to go through for us. And when you know this, when your heart becomes more and more convinced of this, your heart and mind, they'll be drawn away from false religions and religious charlatans. So our first point, know Jesus' sacrificial commitment to his people. Secondly, know Jesus' clear-sighted love for his people. Please look with me again at verse 14. I am good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So, where to know Jesus, but did you notice also Jesus knows us? He knows our names, our families, our homes, our circumstances, our experiences and trials, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. Jesus knows it all. And yet he still loves us. Jesus knows it all, and yet he's still so committed to us that he still went to the cross for us. Now, come back to the analogy between, the picture between human parents and their kids. Because human parents, they know their kids, but they sometimes overlook their faults, don't they? Even good human parents do that. You try not to overlook your children's faults, but that can still happen. Never mind poor human parents. You know, I mean, if you talk to the teachers of badly behaved children in school time and time again, talk to the parents, it's not the child's fault. It's somebody else's. There's always a reason, there's always an excuse. They're wearing rose-tinted spectacles. Well, Jesus is not in danger of wearing rose-tinted glasses when he knows you and me. He sees it all. And we aren't clever enough or devious enough to pull the wool over his eyes. You know, the wool over his eyes. You know, like a child who's at the tea table, at the dinner table, and they don't like broccoli. So what do they do? What did one of my children do anyway? They chop it up and then they spread it all around the plate. So it looks like it's been eaten, but it's just been spread out. Well, let me give you, children, let me just tell you something. Parents know when that's happening. Even more importantly, Jesus knows when that's happening. For things far more serious than not eating your broccoli. He knows the very worst of what we have done and will do. The very worst of our thoughts and feelings. The very worst of our language. Of our pride and jealousy. He sees us for what we really are. And yet, he lays down his life for his sheep. I mean, we can't surprise Jesus with our sin. You know what I mean? It's not as if Jesus is sat up in heaven going, I can't believe Mike Walton has done that again. It doesn't work like that because he knows us. He sees us clearly for what we are, and yet he still loves us as and still is committed to us. He does not cast us off when we fall, even in the most dramatic ways. And there's a pastor in Scotland who used to be a sheep farmer in his sort of his previous job. And while commenting on this passage, he told his church family that when Jesus is using this metaphor of sheep here, it's that sheep is a common picture in the Old Testament for God's people, which is right. But he also told them what sheep are really like, because he was a shepherd. Because sheep really are not the brightest of creatures. They are defenseless against predators, and they get themselves stuck in ditches and fences more times than he could remember. Well, we are sheep. Far less bright than we like to think we are. And yet Jesus is ready and willing to be our good shepherd. And knowing this, knowing that Jesus will still have us, again, it draws us towards him and draws us away from bad shepherds and false religions. Next, we have Jesus' intimate love for his people. Verse 14, again. We're going to know verse 14 really well by the end of today. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, we've always touched on this briefly at the beginning of the talk. Remember, Jesus knows his sheep like God the Father knows God the Son and how well they know each other. And earlier we thought just how wonderful a relationship is between a child and a parent and how well they know each other. It's often close and special. But actually, the parent-child imagery only gives us a glimpse of how well God the Father knows God the Son. Because God the Father knows God the Son perfectly. They've never had an angry word, ever. They've never had a miscommunication. There's never been any need for discipline. In human relationships, you know what I mean? These things are unthinkable. But between God the Father and God the Son, there is such closeness, such intimacy. And Jesus knows you and me this intimately. He knows you better than you know yourself. And yes, as creatures, we can never hope to totally understand him, can we? You know what I mean? He's God. We can't understand everything about him, but we can know him truly today. And one day we will see him face to face. But here, the focus is on the Good Shepherd and what he's like. He knows you and me so well. And again, this is such good news, because when Jesus speaks to us through the Bible time and time again, we find the layers being peeled back, don't we? And we can look back at life and at circumstances and situations and at times, and we can see, actually, Jesus' hand wasn't at work there. His perfect hand was at work. Why? Because Jesus is God and he's great and wonderful, but also because he knows you so well. So again, back to the question we began with, how can we trust a religion or religious leader? And Jesus says, trust someone who knows you, who understands you, who loves you, who wants good for you. Now, yes, Jesus claims this. And Christian after Christian after Christian will tell you they have lived it. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Next, Jesus is inclusive love for his people. Now, when you heard the word inclusive in a church setting, it can have very different meanings. Well, let's try to get our meaning from the Bible, shall we? Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them in also. Now, as I mentioned earlier, in the Old Testament, sheep is often used as a picture of God's people, and particularly the people of Israel. Well, as we come to verse 16, Jesus is very clear. Jesus wants to include people which Jews at the time thought were excluded. You see, Jesus was way more inclusive than the people around him. Way different to the people around him in his day. It didn't matter what their religious background or their social background or which country they came from or their educational levels or their worth in the labour market. Jesus was ready to bring in sheep wherever he could find them. Now, I mean, today, Jesus can bring in sheep from the Muslim community. Jesus can bring in sheep from the neo-Nazi parties that are rising in popularity in Europe. Jesus can bring in sheep from the most militant, noisy, and at times plain rude pressure groups that exist. You know what? Even Jesus can bring in sheep from that group of people who consider themselves nice, normal, average people. I mean, often the least offensive in society, but in their sin of pride and self-righteousness. Offensive to God. Yes, as Jesus clearly says in verse 16, his sheep, his people will listen to his voice. When people become Christians, Jesus does change them for the better. There are some things in life that we do need to leave behind when we start following Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus breaks down barriers that people so easily put up. He is truly inclusive. False teachers, false religions, they so often use barriers to divide and conquer. Jesus is the very opposite. And then lastly, Jesus is self-giving love for his people. And verse 17. The reason that my Father knows me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life, I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. See, the Good Shepherd here is going back to the theme that has been in these verses time and time again. Verse 11, laying down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, laying down his life. And then again, as we've just seen in verses 17 and 18, Jesus went to die on the cross on purpose. Not accidentally, he wasn't forced. I mean, he and God the Father, they figured it out, and the God the Father said to God the Son, let's do this. And yes, and God the Father commands his Son, but Jesus is not an unwilling participant. He says in verse 18, I lay down my life of my own accord. Now, this is so important for lots of reasons, but let me just mention two. And the first one actually isn't what Jesus gets into here. But it's so important to mention it. And the fact is that the reality is that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, the fact that he lays down his life, are absolutely key in how Jesus can bring people like you and me into his sheep pen, into his family. He paid the price for sin. He beat death and won for us adoption into God's family. No one and nothing else can make us right with God, no matter what people say. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but in the last couple of weeks, even the Pope said all religions ultimately lead to God. Let's just be clear, that is wrong. Terribly and awfully wrong. Jesus is the only good shepherd. He says it. Now, do we trust him? Is he trustworthy? But the second reason why Jesus' self-giving love is so important is because religion is so often wrapped up as a power play in religious clothing, isn't it? To control people's lives, to make the religious leaders feel important. Sometimes just to try to make money out of people. Even so-called churches in the name of Jesus have played such destructive and awful games. But when we look at Jesus, he is totally opposite. At the heart of Christianity, at the heart of Jesus, is self-giving love. We get it four times in just a few sentences. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's not a question of what we can do for Jesus. It's a question of what Jesus can do for us. Jesus is not a Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. And Jesus invites us in verse 16 to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And as we read our Bibles at church on Sunday, by ourselves during the week, in our Bible study groups, as we hear his voice, as we get to know Jesus better, as we get to know his commitment to us, his lack of, how well he sees us, and he doesn't wear those rose-tinted glasses, how intimate and inclusive and self-giving his love, we become more and more certain of him. And as I stand here, don't take my word for it, just because I'm a preacher and a pastor. Take Jesus' word. If you want to become a Christian or become a better Christian, don't get to know Mike Walton better. Get to know Jesus better. And he will lead you on that narrow path to life in all its fullness now and forever. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have not left us scrabbling around, scratching our heads, trying to figure out what is real in terms of the divine and your purposes and how best to reach you. Thank you for giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Good Shepherd. Thank you, Father, that we can get to know him in all these different ways. And as that happens, we're drawn into that relationship and you reassure our hearts that he is the Good Shepherd. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that reassurance. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to become, help us to grow, help us to be drawn into that relationship with Jesus that bit more each and every day. And the joy of knowing him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.